We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Well, the General Assembly is meeting once again in special session, and I'm trying to get a handle on what the real issues are during this special session, and there's certainly nobody better than State Senator Siobhan Donovan to shed light on that, one of the best members, in my opinion, of our legislative body. And Dr. Donovan, always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm so happy we could connect.
Absolutely. Well, where shall we start? What exactly is going on through all this stuff?
Well, it's interesting. I'm not sure at all what's going on with the House. The Senate is hearing committees and doing our work. We just adjourned from the second day's floor session with a lot of comment and points of personal privilege. I would say that I am here to advocate for my constituents from whom I've heard so much. You know, I've kept in close touch with kind of weekly updates, sometimes three times a week updates, and really listening to what people's issues are. And I would say resoundingly, they're looking for practical solutions to deal with the crises we're having right now with COVID. And that crisis has become very centered on schools. Parents are scrambling. Hanover, where you live, Jeff, I'm so happy to say are having in-school services for kids where there'll be bricks and mortar, but most of the rest of the state is on virtual, including Henrico, and parents are scrambling trying to find a safe place for their kids and an adequate education because school is so much more than just curriculum you can send online. And so looking at data, looking at telemedicine, looking at solutions for parents and education and measuring where our kids are and all the things I've heard are what are deeply concerning everybody in Henrico and Hanover.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. We in Hanover have the option. We were given the option of sending our children to school or doing the virtual school, the online school. And each parent then can make a decision that is right for them, that's right for their sons, their daughters. And as you're pointing out, in Henrico County, as an example, there's no option given, right?
Right. And so, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics pointed out that for many of the children in Virginia, 40% of our children are on free and reduced lunches, which means their parents are below a threshold of income that makes it important for us to make sure they have healthy food at school. Those parents don't have the resources to make sure their kids have a safe place to stay. We know lots of kids are home. We know that schools provide screening services for kids to, you know, figure out if they're having issues with mental health or even other risk behaviors that they need to have support for. So American Academy of Pediatrics came out and said the most important thing for our kids was to make sure we had a bricks and mortar option. We don't have that across the state. We need to fix that, and the legislature needs to see what they can do to help. Can they provide some immunity for school districts as well as businesses in higher ed? Can they provide additional vacation for parents, some leave time, for teachers if they have to be out for COVID? Teachers have very little vacation. There are things constructively we can do here at the state, even though the decisions are made at the school board level, that can make it easier for the school board to make the important decision to open bricks and mortar.
State Senator Siobhan Donovan is joining us, talking a little bit about, things are going on not just in the community, but I want to talk a little bit about the special session. The governor has come out and said that about $2 billion short on the budget?
$2.5 billion, yes, sir.
All right. So why are we short, and what exactly will we do, if anything, to make up that budget shortfall?
Well, we will. He's already unallocated or unallotted an enormous amount of programs that were initiated newly at the last session. He proposed a budget that we didn't get to see until yesterday to comb through to see what was added back. We will stay with a balanced budget in Virginia. And now the discussion is, what are our priorities for any of the spending? You know, where do we cut and where do we retain funding? And that's what the big debate is going to be about down here. I want to prioritize higher education, mental health. I want to make sure that we stay focused on their highest priorities. And haven't had a chance to come through everything the governor's recommended, but I've noticed, you know, there are a few things that I think should have been funded that weren't, some mental health services, some other services for diversion with jails to make sure that as we release people, they're safe in the community, and maybe they don't go to jail because they get the right mental health services ahead of time. So there's a lot that I think that we can do that will provide safety, educational opportunity for Virginia, and we're going to be combing through that budget and having a debate because the Dems and Republicans don't agree on where that money should be spent.
Tell me a little bit about what has been termed police reform. I look at this, and, you know, I'm a former police officer. I look at this, and what I see is a full frontal assault on law enforcement officers throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I know even in your family, you certainly are, I'm sure, very proud of a family member who happens to be a sheriff on the other side of the state.
Yes,
so,
sir.
What exactly are the Democrats trying to do to our cops?
We're trying to figure that out, and I will tell you this, it's very hard for me to, as I research, obviously that's not an area in which I have as much expertise as others, so it takes a lot of research on my part, and as I look at that, I see glaring clarity on things that we should and shouldn't do that will provide for ongoing high-quality police accountability, and I'm going to say in Virginia, we have it.
Yes.
But the number one thing that we can do to ensure that we have ongoing good accountability of the police is to undo collective bargaining. If you look at the data from across the country, the police departments that have the highest brutality rates, the highest shooting rates, they are ones who have collective bargaining. Why? Because the contract is signed with the union and not with an individual officer, and you must negotiate with the union in order to have somebody removed. And they have all sorts of stops to justice. For instance, you know, hiring, firing policies, but also when you get to talk to a police officer, all sorts of obstacles to the normal legal process when there's a report or a concern. Many things never even get investigated when you have a collective bargaining contract with a local police department. So the number one thing that the Democrats and the Republicans could do to make sure there's good police accountability in Virginia is undo the bad legislation that was passed at the last General Assembly. But there's lots of other things that we can do, too, that will contribute to, honestly, the police officers in Virginia are doing a very good job, and the police departments are holding police that violate policy and have complaints about them accountable and firing them and prosecuting them where necessary. That doesn't happen in other states. We need to focus on what we're doing well. We need to look for opportunities to do better, but we don't need to lump our police officers in with other police officers whose record and reputation and performance is not on par with ours.
You're absolutely spot on. State Senator Siobhan Dunavant is joining us for a couple of moments. We're talking a little bit about the special session, what we're seeing out of there. I thought it was fascinating that in your body, in the state Senate, you have somebody serving who is a convicted felon. And just the other day, another member of the state Senate was served with papers charging her with felonies. Do you ever just think about telling people you're part of the House of Delegates instead?
Not ever. Never. But you know, so no, I'm very proud to be a member of the Senate. It's a very thoughtful body in most cases. Even when we disagree, we usually disagree politely.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm actually very inspired to hear that, because I think that's something that's missing in the bigger society, don't you think?
I do, too. And I think, you know, there's room for everybody to emphasize politeness a little bit more. It does no harm and a whole lot of good.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Before I let you go, because you have been our go-to expert as a medical doctor, when we talk about this coronavirus situation, can you give us a little insight as to where we are as a state and whether we are headed in the right direction?
I think Virginia's headed in the right direction, and we, you know, here's one of the most important pieces of legislation I have, I think, before this body this year. And that is to talk about data and how the Virginia Department of Health reports it. Part of the reason you don't know the answer to that is that the data reporting has been so confusing. And we need to do two things to make the data really digestible by everybody. People, let me tell you, as a healthcare professional, the more power people understand over, the more people understand what's going on, the more power they have over their health, and the better they do. Everybody feels helpless right now because they don't know how to interpret the data, and the wrong data points are being reported. We need the Department of Health to change what they're doing, and we need to report new cases separately from the cumulative data analysis that we're doing. We need to know in new cases how many of those are in the community versus how many of those are in communal living situations like jails, assisted living, and nursing homes. Mm-hmm. Because there are very different consequences for community infection than there are for communal living infection. We need to be tracking what the utilization of ventilators are in one clear area, ventilator use, ICU use. But none of that matters if the state doesn't give us benchmarks to say this is good and this is bad. If our percent positive is under 5%, we get to really expand and go back to a much more normal kind of life. If it's between 5 and 10, we're doing really, really well. But none of those have benchmarks, so nobody can measure where we are, so they just keep looking at the big numbers and being terrified. We need to bring data into a manageable and interpretable kind of language for the general population. And I have a piece of legislation that just passed out of Education and Health and is moving on in the process that will ask the Department of Health to do just that.
Well, I'm happy to hear about the legislation. Now, the question becomes, will the Democrats who control both the state Senate and the House of Delegates allow it to come up for a vote?
I just, if I'm not mistaken, it passed out of Education and Health unanimously.
Wow.
So we'll see what it does as it goes through. And if I get pushback from the administration, sometimes legislation makes it through the first couple of processes and then the administration pushes back hard. Often the House kills stuff arbitrarily, you know, not based on merit, but just from, you know, I'm not sure why. I can't figure it out most of the time. But hopefully everybody sees the value of this. Hopefully everybody understands that if they knew what the data meant, they too would have a better handle. Let's just get to the truth, right? If things are bad, let's know they're bad, and let's make decisions based on that data. If things are good, let's know they're good. But when it's mysterious, you abdicate all of your power to what the next step is to somebody else and to, like, this big brother. Give the power to the individual to discern from themselves if we're well or not so that we can collectively set benchmarks, achieve them. Won't that motivate people to participate in the process of minimizing? It will. So I think data transparency is an imperative.
Absolutely. Boy, it is always good to chat with you. It's always good to hear about the good work that you're doing. And you are my state senator, and I would urge you to please keep doing exactly what you're doing, which is fighting for the people in your district.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Jeff. Have a wonderful afternoon.
All right. You do the same. Right. State Senator Siobhan Donovan. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.